I still remember this argument I got myself into a long time ago. It was with a friend, a close friend of mine, whom I thought was terribly sloppy with his faith. Now, you have to cut me some slack here. It was a long time ago. I was maybe 20, and pretty cocky. But the argument was about nothing less than Jesus' resurrection. And my friend said, it doesn't matter whether Jesus really and physically rose from the grave. What's important is, he said, is justice and peace and love. All those things are true, even if Jesus never literally rose from the grave. And I didn't agree. I absolutely did not agree. I said the resurrection does matter. I insisted the resurrection does matter. It matters a lot. Don't kid yourself. If you don't believe in the physical resurrection of the crucified Jesus, you simply cannot call yourself a Christian. This is the core of what we believe. And I would go out of my way to prove that Jesus actually, really, and physically was raised from the dead. I had all my arguments, scientific and biblical arguments, all lined up neatly in a row. And I knew I was right. I would quote from Paul, for instance, like his first letter from the Corinthians, where Paul says, if Christ is not raised, your faith is futile. And I would remind my friend of the Apostle Peter's speech at Pentecost, in which Peter is just gushing about experiencing the physical Christ, the real Christ. The resurrection mattered to them. So is our vision, 20,000 years after the actual event, is our vision from a distance of 2,000 years later so much clearer? The tomb was empty and Jesus had a resurrection body. This was their conviction. And it went against every historically verifiable fiber of their society of that time. They did not expect it to happen. And Jesus is dead, I would point out. Jesus was, and to quote the Munchkins, Jesus was positively, absolutely, undeniably, and reliably dead. End of story. They had no reason to expect Jesus to come back to life. So how could they ever imagine something like that? In spite of their expectations, something happened that so mystified them, they could not even come up with a coherent narrative to explain it. All the four Gospels have big differences. They don't jive. They don't connect. So I thought it made sense, of course, that they were so shocked, as you could see the picture just now. They were so shocked that the story that they experienced was, later as they wrote it down, was different for each different person. And then the first witness, a woman. Come on, a woman in that culture, it's just as reliable as depending on the witness of a 12-year-old. For that culture 2,000 years ago. Something had happened, I argued. Something so unexpected, so compelling, that it jump-started a powerful movement that changed the lives of millions and millions of people, and still does, still changes lives. So yes, I said, Jesus' physical resurrection matters. And after that, I would lean back and rest my case. I honestly thought I would be able to change my friend's mind by crushing him with logical arguments. Turns out, you cannot argue someone into faith. It just doesn't work that way. I confused being self-righteous with being faithful. In fact, it was a small miracle that my friend stuck it out with me for so long. And then time progressed, and it took me a number of years and a few more patient friends for me to realize that even the Apostle Peter, a.k.a. the Rock, no less, the Apostle Peter, he did not believe after seeing the empty tomb with his very own eyes. We just heard that story. He came into that tomb, he saw it was empty, and he couldn't grasp it. He didn't get it. And then Thomas, you remember Doubting Thomas, another disciple? He didn't believe either, even after hearing the good news from his very close friends who were direct witnesses to that event. So apparently, the empty tomb, even if you could prove it, proves nothing. And apparently hearing the story from direct and reliable witnesses who were there doesn't do it either. Now, I'd like to do a little thought experiment here this morning. Suppose I really ticked off Prime Minister Stephen Harper. And suppose they publicly decided to execute me. I know, but just bear with me for this little thought experiment. And after the execution, you go to the graveyard to pay your last respects, or to dance on my grave, whichever you prefer. And when you get there, all you see is a hole in the ground, a deep hole in the ground, 6 feet deep. And at the bottom of the hole is a coffin, except this coffin has the lid off, and we can see it's empty. Now your first thought would be, Your first thought would be, hallelujah, Hubert is the risen Son of God, right? Of course not. Your first thought would be, who the bleep took the body? And suppose you went back to the church, the Pine Grove Church, here, and you're looking for answers. You're confused. You don't get this. What's going on here? You come to the church, and on the front step, you find a frightened 12-year-old kid. And the kid stammers, I saw Pastor Hubert. I saw him. He's alive. At first, I thought it was somebody else. But then he said my name, and I realized it was Hubert. And your first thought would be, of course, I knew it. I always knew it. I always suspected Hubert was the second person of the Trinity. I just knew death couldn't keep him down. Right? Of course not. Of course not. Your first thought is, right. This kid is seeing dead people. I hope his parents invest in some long-term counseling for this kid. My point is, the empty tomb proves nothing. Hearing the story is not good enough. Because that's not what faith is about, is it? What faith is about is being transformed. Being transformed by experiencing the risen Christ. You know why Mary was the first witness in the story by John we just heard this morning? Mary, the first witness? She was the first witness because she was the one who stayed behind at the empty tomb. As soon as the disciples saw the body was gone, they ran off in a panic. They didn't know what to do. But she stayed. She stayed and she cried. She stayed and she cried and she prayed. She searched. She asked. And she learned news she never dreamed she ever would learn. She experienced something she could barely comprehend, and it shook her to the core. So ironically, after all these years, it now seems I was right after all in that discussion I had with my friend. But I was right for all the wrong reasons. Yes, the resurrection does matter. Of course it does. Only the question is not the question I thought it was. The question is not, did the resurrection really actually happen? No, that's not the right question. A much better question would be, if the risen Christ is calling us, how then shall we live? The risen Christ is calling us. What does it mean for our lives? How do we respond to that? Of course I know. It's a question we will never ever find the complete answer to. But by asking that question, we may learn something we never dreamed of. We may experience something we can barely comprehend. And if we let it sink in our lives, it may shake us to our core. And as it happens, we may come to understand that faith is not about certainties. That's not faith. Faith is about asking better questions. We may come to understand that even though there is darkness and suffering in the world, evil and misery do not have the final word. The holiest of week, which we just went through last week. The holiest of weeks may begin in doubt and confusion and darkness, but it ends in hope. Today we celebrate hope in new life. A transforming, life-giving, core-shaking hope. I hope that over the course of this past Holy Week, you have been able to experience its power with others. And I pray it may open your ears and your hearts to the resurrection story's deeper meaning. What does it mean for our lives? And I hope that you experience the living Christ and the message that God loves us as we are. No strings attached. No small print. And that God's yes is so much more powerful than our stubborn little no. That even death itself cannot separate us from the love as God showed us in Jesus. Because we are loved, we can love others as we love ourselves. Once we have experienced that grace, life will never be again business as usual. How can it? And you may notice unusual shifts within yourself. And you may notice little changes in the people around you as you go through that process. Now mind you, those shifts and changes might not always be comfortable or pleasant. Sometimes they can feel like growing pains. The cramps that go with growing pains. Because that's what it is. We are growing up. We're becoming more and more mature. And that's not always comfortable. But grow we must. And with every little or large act of selfless love we do in Christ's name, we move a little bit further out of the shadows into the light. And with every little act of selfless love we do in Christ's name, God's kingdom of peace and justice becomes a little bit more of a reality. Right here on earth, as it is in heaven. And with every little act of selfless love in His name, Christ is risen within us, inside of us, again and again. May it be so. Amen.